This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Well, good evening and welcome to the John Whitmer Show. Hope you had a very Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us this evening here at your local liberal resistance headquarters. It's so weird. This whole week has been, I don't know about you, it's been weird. I felt like I've been on vacation. I haven't, but it's been a weird kind of week. I have a feeling this next week's going to be the same way. And then
it all starts.
And then holy hell begins. As I have to start getting used to waking up at 4 a.m. every day. But that's okay. Thrilled to have you with us this evening. If you'd like to, we're going to do something kind of similar to what we did last week. We're going to do a lot of open lines tonight. So our studio lines are open. You can call or reach me at 316-869-1330 by email at john@knssradio.com or on Facebook and True Social at The John Whitmer Show, and on X at John R. Whitmer. Too much coffee or not enough, one way or the other. We'll also be joined this evening by Senate President Ty Masterson. He'll be with us to kick off the 8 o'clock hour, kind of give us a brief about the upcoming 2026 legislative session. And of course, the news that broke this week that the Kansas City Chiefs are moving to Kansas. Little, I don't know, what, 30 mile trip across the border. But here by 2031, the Kansas City Chiefs will actually be in Kansas. So, and it only cost us $4 billion. So we'll talk good or bad. We will talk with Ty Masterson and get your thoughts on that. Joy Akins, who is one of the GOP candidates for governor, will be with us as well later this hour. And we'll explain why she says that Kansas taxpayers shouldn't be paying the multi-billion dollar bill to bring the Chiefs to Kansas. She's one of the, I think she's the only candidate for governor that I've seen who's publicly come out and said it's a bad deal for Kansas taxpayers. I have not seen any of the other candidates who've publicly opposed it. There have been a couple of other candidates for governor who've come out in support. I don't recall seeing any of the other candidates for governor take a side. And so we reached out to Joy to invite her on the show. And she'll be with us here later this hour to explain why she says it's just not a good deal. And of course, once again, we'll be dedicating a large portion of tonight's show to you, our faithful listeners. The studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. As many of you know, by the way, the new show Woodward and Witt premieres on Monday, January 5th. Ted Woodward and I will be hosting the new morning show right here on KNSS. We're finalizing the schedule now, the lineup. I mean, obviously, it's 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays right here on KNSS. Many of the features aren't going to change. We'll still do Mondays with the mayors and Tuesday with the county commission. But another Monday feature will be a My Under the Dome segment that we've brought from this show over to the morning show. And that first Monday, we will have the Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins. And then every Monday, while they're in session, either Dan or Ty will join us to give us a legislative preview. And then every other Friday, we will do a D.C. update live from Washington, D.C. with either Congressman Estes or Senator Roger Marshall. And that first week, January 9th, the first Friday of our show, Congressman Ron Estes will be with us to bring us our first D.C. update. Also, our premiere week on January 5th, Senator Jerry Moran will be joining us on Monday, January 5th. His office reached out. We're really happy to have him with us on our first show. So our premiere episode, Senator Moran will be joining us. So we got a busy schedule already that week. And then, of course, every other Friday, when we're not doing the DC update, we'll have our conversation friendly, tete-a-tete, Hannity and Combs style segment with Dion Leffler. So from the Wichita Eagle, where Dion and I will pick a topic. And if you have suggestions of conversations that you'd like Dion and I to explore, email them to me. I'd be happy to kind of engage with Dion. You know, he's definitely comes at it from a different perspective than I do, but it's always, you know, Dion and I are friendly, even though we definitely approach things from different perspectives. But I know recently I saw a commentary that he did about, you know, the minimum wage, for example, and what a great idea that was. And I'm not a big fan of raising set minimum wages to $30 an hour and that kind of stuff. And that those are the kind of topics that we might broach. So it'll be interesting, and we're looking forward to starting that segment as well. So again, that starts on the 5th, and we'll be off and running and I'll be up and at it at 4 in the morning. So, but at any rate,
speaking of coffee,
lots of coffee.
I think we may have an IV machine.
That's okay. I'll just make sure to go to bed early each night. So no more late night partying like I did. I haven't done that since college anyway. So, but in the meantime, one of the things that I wanted to kind of talk about in our monologue this evening is it's kind of a tradition. Everyone does it. You know, we're coming up with a happy new year. This week, obviously, is New Year's, comes Thursday night. And it's a big deal. Wednesday night, Thursday morning, big New Year's. And something that, by the way, happy New Year to everyone. And you know, as we get ready to welcome 2026 this year, once again, America will, you know, do what they always do, swear it's going to do better while absolutely changing nothing. That's pretty typical. And part of that is the New Year's resolutions. It's pretty common. Everybody, you know, they make their resolutions. They're, you know how it goes. Every January, people make New Year's resolutions that they don't intend to keep. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to save money. I'm going to stop eating Taco Bell after midnight. And by January 4th, the resolution is broken and the chalupa is consumed at 1 a.m. You know how this works. So tonight, I thought we'd do something a little different because I've put together America's official New Year's resolutions for 2026, the conservative edition. So this is my recommendations for America's New Year's resolutions, because Lord knows this country needs a reset button. So resolution number one, America resolves to stop passing billion-dollar tax hikes like their party favors, or gas, in this case, certainly in the case of Wichita Forward. Because here in Wichita, we've been told that the resolution to every problem is, of course, more of your money, and it stinks. Not trimming waste, not tightening budgets, not prioritizing the essentials, just reaching deeper into your wallet and calling it progress or forward. We're talking about nearly a $1 billion tax increase being floated like it's no big deal. It's $1 billion. That's not a budget. That's a hostage note. So for 2026, America resolves to stop pretending taxpayers are a bottomless ATM. We're not a magic money machine. We're not Monopoly Bank. We're definitely not the Federal Reserve. So resolution, no more billion-dollar boondoggles wrapped in buzzwords. Resolution number two, America resolves to stop confusing woke with wise. Because somewhere along the way, being offended became a career path. Everything is offensive. Everyone is traumatized. Everything is triggering. And somehow the solution to every problem is more government control and fewer jokes. In 2026, America resolves to bring back common sense and find themselves a darn sense of humor. You can disagree without melting down. You can hear opinions you don't like without calling a therapist. And you can survive hearing a joke without filing a complaint with HR. We resolve to bring back thick skin, thin government, and common sense in bulk. Resolution number three. America resolves to stop pretending woke math works or makes sense. Let's talk about math for a second. When you spend $150 million and serve 750 people, that's $200,000 per person. Like, say, on the new homeless shelter that they're planning, the homeless plan they've gotten in the new billion-dollar tax plan. That's not help. That's a down payment on a house. And yet somehow we're told, trust us, we just need a little more money. No. No more math where 2 plus 2 equals funding request approved. In 2026, we resolve to bring back real math, where the math actually maths, not feelings-based accounting. Resolution number four. America resolves to defend common sense conservatism. We resolve to defend the radical idea that work should be rewarded, crime should be punished, borders should exist, parents should raise kids, there are only two genders, and taxpayers should have a say before politicians spend their money. I know it's radical stuff, isn't it? But here's the thing. These aren't extreme ideas. They're the basics. They're the foundation that made this country work in the first place. Resolution number five. America resolves to stop apologizing for success. If you work hard, start a business, build something, or succeed, you're not the villain. You're the reason the lights stay on. We're done pretending success is something to be ashamed of, or that the solution to every problem is punishing the people who are actually keeping the engine running. And finally, here's the big one. America resolves to remember who we are. We're not a country built on bureaucrats, task forces, or endless studies. We're built on freedom, grit, personal responsibility, and common sense. We don't need more government. We need more backbone. We don't need more spending. We need more accountability. And we don't need another year of being told to sit down, shut up, and pay up. So as we ring in 2026, here's my New Year's resolution. To speak up. To push back. To laugh at the absurdity. And remind the powers that be, politely, firmly, and loudly, that this is still our country. So Happy New Year, Wichita. Now let's keep our wallets, our values, and our common sense intact. We'll take a quick break, and then, of course, we want to take your calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. Starting in January, they'll get back to doing their Day of Action. Be the third Saturday of every month. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. You can get out with those folks, door knock, and help educate voters. 2026 is going to be a big year, folks, to help. We've got the constitutional amendment on judicial selection. It'll be on the ballot in August. I know the folks at AFP are going to be doing a real concerted effort to help educate voters, and it's a great way for you to help make your voice heard and help educate voters. If you're interested, you can visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up and help them educate voters. And, of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social. And, of course, find and follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. If you do, I shared an interesting tweet. Ironically, Riley Gaines led us into this segment. And she posted something on X earlier this week. And, you know, part of the monologue was about the new year and resolutions. But one of the things that happens this time of year is you've got new legislation that was passed in 2025 that goes into effect January 1st. It happens all the time. Legislatures pass different bills and then they go into effect typically like June, or they'll go into effect on the first of the year. So this is the time of year that, people start paying attention because of all these different things that might happen, might change, effective January 1st. Well, here's a little one. Effective January 1st in California, it will be illegal to declaw a cat. You know, okay, maybe that's, you know, a little interesting little tidbit that effective January 1st in California, it will now be illegal to declaw a cat. And the reason behind this was, I don't know if it was PETA or the, you know, the folks that are, I don't know, feline lovers. And by the way, you know, my wife and I've had cats over the years. We don't have any now, but we've had cats. But at any rate, the argument behind this is that it was viewed to be inhumane and, quote, causes chronic pain to the cats. Okay, that's fair. But this is the context that Riley put this comment out there, is because there's also a law on the books in California that allow 13-year-old girls to go to the doctor and surgically remove their healthy breasts without parental consent. And this is, so keep this in mind. If this, and by the way, if you don't see the issue here, then you are the issue here. But so as of January 1st, a couple days from now, you won't be able to take your cat and have it declawed, but a 13-year-old girl can go to the doctor and have her healthy breasts removed without parental consent. I mean, I'm not laughing because I'm just laughing at how stupid these people in California are. And this is absolutely a remarkably sad example of the upside down world we're currently living in. I mean, frankly, how is this even real? That you have a state, first off, that would even, and then, by the way, this is, keep in mind, Gavin Newsom, according to a new poll, is the front runner for the Democrat nomination for president. And he signed this bill into law. I mean, you know, this is crazy. This is, I mean, I get this, that maybe you want to protect the cats. That's fine. But only crazy people would remove healthy organs from a child for no other reason than some concept of identity, a perverted concept of identity. I mean, there's only one word to describe it, and it's insanity. And this is how they want to micromanage teenagers there. I mean, it's crazy here. It really is. It's a deeply bizarre world that we live in, where this is the mindset, and frankly, no other way to describe it. It's evil. And, you know, California is the land of insanity. And yet Gavin Newsom is the Democrat front runner for the Democrat Party. He is the face of the Democrat Party. And this is what they think. We are truly living in a world where, I mean, there's really no other way to put this. Satan has taken too much of a hold of people, where this is how sickening it has become. And I'm a bit of a libertarian. I want, look, if you want to call yourself a kumquat and dress up, and if you're a man who wants to dress up in women's clothes, I don't care. Knock yourself out, dude. It doesn't change biological reality. It doesn't change the facts of what you are. I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to pick on you. I'm not going to laugh at you. I'm not going to mock you. But at the same time, I'm not going to indulge in your fantasies, nor should I be required to do that. But I also don't think it's smart to allow children, 13-year-olds, to do permanent physical damage to themselves, and certainly not without the consent of their parents. And this is just so wrong. But that's the state of affairs in our country. And you can't declaw a cat, but it's okay to surgically remove a healthy body part. But that's, you know, this is why I try and bring these kinds of stories, because I don't think where the mainstream media hasn't shared that story with you. I doubt you've seen that on MSLGBTV or DNCNN. You're not going to see those stories on either of those networks. You might have seen it on Fox, but certainly not going to see that in the Wichita Eagle. So it is what it is. It's kind of a bizarre story, but only here. Coming up, Joy Akins, GOP candidate for governor, will explain why she says Kansas taxpayers shouldn't be paying the multi-billion dollar bill to bring the Chiefs to Kansas. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, make sure you listen to us on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook and through social pages. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. We'd love to hear from you. Well, the biggest news probably this week was that the Kansas City Chiefs have agreed in principle. I think there's still paper in the deal, but they've agreed in principle to a $4 billion deal with the state of Kansas to relocate the team to Kansas. The deal is final, and they're moving the team by 2031. They will have a new stadium, no doubt a domed stadium. Looks like it's going to be out near the Legends. I think that's part of the stuff that has to be detailed. But Chiefs are coming to Kansas, and it all thanks to the work of the legislature, credit taken by Laura Kelly, who did nothing but sign the paperwork. Big shock. With us now, because she's one of the only, if not, I've not seen any of the other GOP candidates for governor who have come out, not, shall we say, not thrilled with the deal, is one of the candidates for GOP governor, is Joy Akins, who has come out publicly and said that Kansas taxpayers shouldn't be paying the billion-dollar foot basically a price tag for the deal, 70% of which will be covered by a star bond deal. And that Joy Akins is with us now. Joy, Merry Christmas. Hope you had a Merry Christmas. And thank you for joining us this evening.
Hi, John. So good to be on your show again. And Merry Christmas to you. We did have a great time. We had our son home from the Air Force, so that was really special.
Yeah, well, and by the way, thank you as a family of a service member. And obviously, you know, he's the one who's doing the service, but folks know that family is in the service as well when you have a family member in the service. So thank you for your sacrifice. You know, the governor, in her statement, and again, I love the fact the governor's going around taking credit for something she didn't have anything to do with. But in her statement, she made a big point of saying that no taxpayer dollars are going to this deal. But that's not at all accurate, is it?
It's not accurate at all. It's, in fact, you just said 70%, so that's the newest number I've heard. 70% is actually taxpayer dollars. And this is just more government speak. Look, I came out early about this, that I think it's wrong, because fundamentally, I'm opposed to taking public dollars and putting them into private pockets. I own a business myself. My husband owns a business. We've been in business for a long time. And it's our job to ensure that our profit and loss statement and our chart of accounts work. It's not my job to ask for money from a family that's struggling to put that money into my pocket as a business owner. That's my job. And that's the job of every business owner. So fundamentally, when I see things like this, my first reaction is it's not right. But then just when you get into the details of the STAR bond, and maybe a lot of your listeners down here in South Central Kansas think, what's the big deal? It's up there. No, it's going to affect all of us.
Oh, yeah.
It affects all of us. Yeah, for the next generation. It's not just for the little bit of time here, but for 30 years, we have tied up something. So just to step back about how STAR bonds work, that they're going to declare a line. This is where our economy is. In the STAR bond district, which we'll talk about, any growth over the next 30 years in sales tax revenue over that number goes to the bonds. So if you think about what sales tax is used for the state, it's infrastructure. It's roads. Some people want to use it for education. Well, the growth of 10% of the state is off limits for the next 30 years. I'll be dead by the time it's paid off.
Well, let's hope not.
That is the best.
Yes.
Well, you know, I mean, I probably won't be around, but if I am, I would love to go to the, you know, they usually have like a mortgage burning. I would love to go to the bond burning.
Yeah.
Moment. But seriously, we put our families and our kids' future at risk. And the fact that we just did it, and look, I love the Chiefs. I love to watch the Chiefs. We are big fans in our house of the Chiefs. I know you're a Broncos fan. So I'm not trying not to hold that against you. So it's not about whether the Chiefs should come to Kansas. Of course we love having them in Kansas. But why are we giving away the farm to get them here? Why are we acting like we have nothing to give and letting them come here and then holding our future generation in such jeopardy?
The two bits of context that I've found most interesting in this whole debate, actually one of which involves, you brought them up, the Broncos. You know, the Broncos ownership group is also getting a new stadium. The difference is they're building their own. There's no taxpayer dollars going into the new Broncos stadium. The ownership group here is building their own. And I think it is interesting to note the Hunt family is like the 12th wealthiest family in America. And they're worth something like $25 billion. They could afford to build their own stadium, much like the ownership group of the Broncos. I do think it's interesting that the Chiefs never once threatened to move out of state, did they? So I wonder why we had to do this. It's not like we had to do this to keep them here. They weren't leaving, were they?
Well, I wasn't part of those talks, but I never heard them say they were leaving.
No, neither did I.
Yeah, you know, I think, well, when you listen to what Mr. Hunt said, and he's a great businessman, and he's apparently put together he's a great negotiator because he's gotten a great deal from the people of Kansas. And by the way, from our legislators on both sides of the aisle, have given this over to him. But, you know, all of that said, again, it's not our job as business owners to take money from the hands of families, from their pocketbooks, and put them into the hands of business owners. It's just wrong in so many different ways.
Well, there's two bits of context that I would put out here. One, the Tax Foundation recently put out a study that showed that between 1970 and 2020, state and local governments devoted $33 billion in public funds to construct major league stadiums in the United States. And it covers about 75% or so of venue construction costs. Over the past 50 years, according to them, state and local governments are subsidizing development within these areas with no tangible benefits for the rest of the city or state. So basically what they found is that the only economic benefits that occurs near the stadium, and basically it'll help the area surrounding the actual stadium, but the rest of the state generally doesn't benefit at all for these deals. And, you know, I think the easier way for folks in our area to look at this is to look at Wichita Riverfront Stadium. The city of Wichita issued approximately $42 million in star bonds back in 2018, with funding reaching around $83 million. So far, we've now invested over $100 million, and we still don't have the hotel. We still don't have the other buildings. The total project investments are way over what they were expecting, and we've still yet to see the return on the investment. And I think that's my fear on this deal, is I hope it turns out to be good. I hope it gets paid back, but I just wonder if the juice is going to be worth the squeeze.
Well, I think part of the issue here is what you just said about the area around the stadium. So the star bonds were originally designed to be an immediate area around the stadium to revitalize them. We've got all of Wyandotte County and half of Johnson County in this star bond district, which encompasses 10% of the current population of Kansas. Yeah. And look, people are mad about this. I cannot tell you how many calls, tweets, text messages, private messages I've gotten from voters around the state, because I've been out there talking to them, and they're worried about their taxes. And so when I hear politicians, I mean, I heard Laura Kelly go around. I've heard some of our Republicans, like Ty Masterson and Jeff Collier, start talking about the fact that this is just new money and it doesn't impact anybody. That's crazy. Of course, that is career politician talk. Of course, it impacts all of us, because these people are going around promising that if you elect them governor, that they will reduce taxes and spending. And then they take 10% of our population and cap off anything we could do there. So that makes it more difficult for future legislators and future governors to buy down that tax and spend. And this is what career politicians do. And I thought it was interesting that in Mr. Hunt's remarks, one of the things that he said was that when it came to Kansas, he only had to deal with one group of people. What does that mean? A uniparty about this issue. One thing, one group of people. He didn't have to talk to Republicans differently than Democrats, because they all lined up and set this deal in motion. And so they're making promises all over the state in their campaigns, and then they're turning around and breaking them before they even get elected to the office. That's how crazy this is.
We're talking with Joy Akins, who's one of the Republican candidates for governor. You do have to admit, though, the potential for this on the upside, I mean, the revenue potentials, if you've got a Super Bowl, if you've got the possible, you know, income tax revenue, the potential for all of the ancillary revenue that could come with all the development that's coming, with the potential of jobs that could come. I mean, there does seem to be a lot of wage growth, a lot of economic growth that could come with this. I mean, there's certainly a lot. If you get concerts, you get all the other things that could come with, especially with a domed stadium, you're going to get a Super Bowl if you build it.
So all of the state sales tax for that stuff over the next 30 years will go to pay off the bond. It won't go to help Kansans. And we've seen it. And by the way, it's not the only star bond in Wyandotte County. I was reading this week, and there's another one for some kind of a deal for a Barbie and Mattel toy event that's over $200 million. So what we're doing is we're saying we can't touch that sales tax money for the long term. And in other deals like this, maybe they're not star bond issues, but other kinds of deals like this, we've seen that when they can't get to sales tax money, then they go to other places to increase it. Our taxes are more like California's than they are the states around us. And we are handicapping ourselves in the future by putting deals like this together, and there's no end in sight. And they're going to try and tell us that we don't, not to believe our lying eyes, you know, don't believe it. Don't believe it. It's not true. It is true. The data says that we have never, that the promises made by all of the different stadium deals around the country have never really paid off like they said they would. So we basically put ourselves in a position where we're going to have to, for the long term, sell our next generation out and keep our taxes high, which, by the way, is having all kinds of bad outcomes, including the fact that we're continuing to lose people in this state.
What do you say? What do you say to folks that say, well, the land is where they're going to build this? It's empty fields right now. It's not being used currently. So by putting all you're losing out on is the sales tax, there's income tax, there's going to be construction jobs, there's going to be income that will come to it. All you're really giving up is sales tax that currently land is not generating any sales tax anyway.
Yeah, I would love to see those figures if they'd be willing to make them public. But I know that, one of your friends, Pete Mundo, was on the radio last week talking about this and showed that it would take something like 30 years for income tax increases to pay anything off. So it's really not a good deal for Kansas. This is why, because the people that made this deal don't really believe in our state. They don't think we have anything of value. And so what they do is they give away everything they can and beg people to come here. They did it with the same people did it with Panasonic. They're doing it with the Chiefs, and they'll do it for anyone that shows they might be willing to come here. They're doing it with data centers. Anybody that might maybe be interested, let's throw the farm. Forget all the people that live here. You know, you talked about the Wichita deal down here in Wichita with the
sales tax
stadium.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they sold the property on the river for $1 an acre.
Right.
You know, I'm a business owner. I had a piece of land on my property, next to my property for parking that I wanted to buy. And it took an act of God to get it bought because government doesn't care about the people that are already here. So that's why I'm running for governor, is to change that entrepreneurs and business people know that government wants to work with them. We want to work with the Chiefs. We want to give them a great opportunity here to be part of Kansas, but we're not going to sell the farm to do it because we know that we have value and our people have value. And we're not going to sell our children's future to get those kinds of deals either.
Well, this will be interesting. I know we've got the Senate President Ty Masterson coming on here in about 10 minutes. I will. He's probably listening, and I'm sure I'll ask him some of these questions and get his perspective on it. And you guys obviously have a debate coming up in a month or so here in Wichita as part of the state convention. I would imagine this might be a topic that'll come up, but if folks are interested, if they want more information on you, on the campaign, they can visit you online at KansasComeback.com, correct?
That's right, KansasComeback.com. Hey, Happy New Year, John.
Yes, Joy, I wish you all the best and good luck. And I'm sure we'll talk again before then, but if not, we'll see you here on the 31st at the Marriott for the convention.
That's great. Thanks.
Happy New Year. We'll take a quick break. We'll take your calls. I'm curious what you think. What do you think of the Chiefs coming to Kansas? Give us a call, 316-869-1330. Our studio lines are open. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. All right, so Phil, I got one for you. I don't know if you are looking for a little date night fun, but I will give you a suggestion. So Christmas Day, I took the missus to see Song Sung Blue.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Have you seen it?
Well, no, I have not, but I've heard about it.
Oh, it's awesome.
One, I'm a huge Hugh Jackman fan.
Hugh Jackman. Okay, good. Are you a Neil Diamond fan?
I am. Yes.
Everybody knows one. It's a great movie.
Yes.
Phenomenal movie. It for those of you who don't know, it's not a Neil Diamond movie. It's a movie. Hugh Jackman, Kate Hudson, they play Mike and Claire Sardina, who did a tribute band, basically. But it is a phenomenal movie. It's a love story. A lot of Neil Diamond music in it. But I highly, highly recommend people go see it. I cried, but I'm a sucker. I'm a sap. I highly recommend that you go see Song Sung Blue.
It'll make you cry. It's a great date night. So we'll take a quick break, and then Senate President Ty Masterson will brief us on the upcoming session and the Chiefs moving to Kansas. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. It's such a good movie. Tell your legislators to keep AM radio in vehicles by texting AM to 39179 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And follow me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. We are still trying to get in touch with our Senate President Ty Masterson. As soon as we do, we will we'll connect with him. Yeah, that's what happens. It's live radio. So that's what happens. In the meantime, I've got this story I wanted to share with you. You know, these are like the head scratching stories that we find. This is out of a This is out of Bossier Parish, Louisiana. So youth in Bossier Parish, Louisiana, youth pastors are allowed to visit students during the lunch hour in Bossier Parish. But the school district has set up some mighty strict parameters. Clergy are allowed to talk about sports, the weather, or the latest, you know, movie craze, whatever. But they're not allowed to talk about Jesus, apparently. So the rule at Benton Middle School, where the youth pastor at Cypress Baptist Church got in trouble for inviting students to attend church. Apparently, another student overheard the conversation and reported it to her parents. The parents then reached out to the school district and then to the Radical Freedom from Religion Foundation, who got involved, and that's, of course, the atheist hate group that's based up in Wisconsin, and they were triggered by the name Jesus. So, attorneys, of course, then got involved, and they sued, and it became all these out-of-town atheists and ministers got involved, and of course, the ministers were then forbidden from discussing anything religious with the children. All the conversations apparently then had to be secular. So, literally, there's no room in the manger for conversations or in the school, apparently. You can discuss anything but religion. And the funny part is the school issued a statement that says that we want to be inclusive, but apparently you don't want to be inclusive of anything, but, you know, it's okay to promote secularism. It's okay to promote, I'm sure, gender ideology, but not Christianity. So, I mean, this is, again, what happens with, I mean, it's just crazy. This is the kind of stuff, though. And by the way, my wife just called me a goober for singing Song Sung Blue. So I told you, but this is crazy. This is what you get when you have woke ideology seeping or creeping, or in this case, instituted in our school system. Give you another example of these types of anti-Christian doctrine that's being instituted, in particular in government organizations. That one was in Louisiana. This one's right here in Kansas. A local government official in Kansas City is under fire for declining to display faith-related decorations in City Hall. Now, this is right over the border in Kansas City, Missouri. But according to KCTV, a memo issued by the city manager, Mario Vasquez, told employees that no religious symbols were allowed to be put up this year. So you could put up, you know, anything you want, but it could be your Christmas trees. You could do anything like that. But in order to honor the separation of church and state, you could not display religious symbols as part of your holiday decorations. So, by the way, I wouldn't be surprised if you could do Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, but just nothing Christian. I'm sure that would be the case. So, not in City Hall at any point, because again, they want to be a welcoming city, but not welcome to Christians, apparently. So at Kansas City in the City Hall, there's no room in the manger for Jesus or Christianity. Go figure. You know, you can put up a Christmas tree, but if you want a nativity scene, you can't put that up in your office, because heaven forbid you express your religious beliefs in public, because you might offend somebody if you're in the City Hall in Kansas City, Missouri. This is, look, we have got to get to a point where we stop indulging this stuff. I mean, whatever happened to the notion of not taking offense where offense isn't meant? But that doesn't work anymore these days. And it's just sad that we're at a point where we're at that point. It's just sad. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then we'll see if we can get our Senate president with us. In the meantime, we're still taking calls. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. They're getting ready. After the first year, they'll start up their Days of Action. It's the third Saturday. It's a great way to get engaged, to make a difference. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And of course, while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page. And follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. Phil, did you happen to catch over the weekend, the folks at Wichita Forward have a new TV ad out? Did you happen to see it?
I have not, but this should be interesting.
Yeah, so I'm looking to see if I can find it. I'm seeing if they've got it up on their website.
You know, in last week's show, it was amusing the amount of names that you had for this group. I lost count.
Forward, backward.
It was great.
Forward, yeah. Forward up your lunch. Yeah. And I'm also looking, by the way, on their website. They kept saying that they were going to roll out this list of conservatives and Republicans who support their plan. And I'm still waiting. I'm waiting because I'm looking on their website, and other than it's the same group, and I'm still waiting and waiting and waiting.
Kind of like we're waiting on the plans.
Exactly.
What exactly they're going to do.
Yeah. So if you look here on their website, nobody knew. Still nothing new. And the only people on here, there's organizations who will benefit from it. You know, you got like the Wichita Police and Fire Foundation, who they get money. And the Firefighters Union, they get money. And Downtown Wichita, they're going to get money. And the Arts Council, they get money. So, you know, Visit Wichita. Oh, wait, they get money. So all these groups that are backing it are going to get money from the deal.
This sounds like that Oprah bit.
Yeah, you get money. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. Well, music theater. Oh, well, they get money. Let's see here. And then when you look at all the businesses, well, they're going to get money out of the deal because they're all in the area where they're going to get all the new developments. So they're going to make money on the deal. And then you go to the citizens. You go down to citizens. So half the people, if you know any of these people, a lot of them work for the companies that the three wise men, the three rich guys, you know, wise is a stretch, but the three rich guys who are behind this, like if you go, Bastion, John Bastion or Aaron Bastion, he's from Fidelity Bank. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 8 people on here under businesses. Well, they all work for Fidelity Bank. Well, that's a big shock because Aaron Bastion's one of the three. And you got Thrive Restaurant Group. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people from Thrive Restaurant Group on here. And then you got Hutton. And there's 1, 2 people from Hutton on here. So it's like all their people in here, they all got connections. This is like a spider web of people who either work for or are affiliated with the three guys who are behind Wichita Forward.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is just, I mean, it's all bogus. I mean, it's all malarkey. I mean, come on. Do they think people are just stupid? And you got construction people here. Well, they want to bid on the deal. No wonder they're on here, because they want to bid on the dang deal. Developers, restaurateurs, banks, and construction guys. So they want to bid on it. They want to finance it, or they want to benefit from a $1 billion spending plan. Big shock. I mean, the whole thing is just a joke. Anyway, so they've got a new TV commercial out. And as I watched the new TV commercial, it was all lies. It was all, you know, oh, look how great this is. And we're going to have to raise. The premise of the new TV ad was, you have to do this because if you don't, we're going to have to raise property taxes. So we better do this, or they're raising property tax. Basically holding a gun to your head. Well, that's the premise. But that's a false premise. Because first, there's two reasons that's false. One, you don't have to raise property taxes. You could cut spending. That's the first thing, okay? Second off, what would happen to the city council if they raised property taxes? Every one of those would be out on their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Because the voters would vote them out in a New York minute. So I don't believe that the city council members, half of whom want to get reelected, would have the cojones to raise property taxes. I think that's an empty threat in a heartbeat. Because the ones who are term limited want to future offices.
Oh, sure, yeah. They got nothing to lose.
So, well, or they want, and if they want to run for anything in the future, they're never going to vote to raise property taxes. So that's an empty threat. And then the ones who want to run for reelection sure as hell aren't going to vote to raise property taxes. So that is a complete empty threat. It's a lie. But they're just trying, oh, well, we have to do this or we're going to raise property taxes. I call horse squeeze on that one. That is malarkey, pure and simple. But that's the crux of their TV ad. $1 billion sales tax or property tax. There's third option. Learn fiscal restraint. That's your third option.
Okay. And so let me tag that by brought to you by the John Whitmer.
There you go. There you go. Speaking of fiscal restraint. This is a nice segue. I feel sorry for the guy. I'm going to drop this on him. But speaking of fiscal restraint, with us now is our Senate President, Ty Masters, who actually is a guy who's actually passed tax cuts, who knows a little bit about fiscal restraint. And I'm sorry to drop you in the blah on that rant, Ty, but thank you for joining us and Merry Christmas, brother.
Well, Merry Christmas. You probably owe me one because I had technical difficulty getting in, so I apologize for the late entry.
No, you're fine. You're fine, and I hate to drop you on a hard intro like that, but I get riled up when I start talking about the $1 billion tax increase. I know you live out in Butler County, so you're not having to deal with it as much, but boy, I tell you, I get fired up when I start talking about that $1 billion tax increase that they're trying to pass here in Wichita.
They had me interested when they were talking about doing the majority of it for property tax relief, but man,
yeah,
what I've seen so far is, I have to say, pretty disappointing.
No, and that's where I was. When they first proposed it to me, I was a supporter. I was like, well, yeah, if you could do revenue neutral or 60-40 or even 50-50, I was with them. And then it came out 82-18, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Talk about a bait and switch.
All right. People forget there's two sides to the ledger.
That's
right. And spending's a big part of it.
Yes. All right, so we got two main topics that I wanted to talk to you about. A preview of the 2026 session and the Chiefs. Which do you want to take first?
Oh, you tell me.
Okay, well,
since
we had Joy on, we had Joy Akins on in the last hour, and she's actually the only of your fellow gubernatorial candidates that I know of who's been opposed to the Chiefs deal. But she's been pretty critical. I mean, she came out pretty heavy in that last hour and was pretty critical of the Chiefs deal. And pulled no punches. I mean, she says it's not going to be good for Kansas. It was, and there have been some, I mean, I brought up the Tax Foundation report that points out that by and large, these things have not been overly successful,
And that they tend to only benefit the areas immediately around, that it's questionable if they benefit the state at large. It's a lot of money. So what do you have to say in response to folks like Joy, who are concerned that this is the juice may not be worth the squeeze?
Yeah, I get it. And I didn't mean, where I have a little grace for them is they don't fully understand the deal, right? They think you're using existing tax monies and that's a net loss, but that's just not how the program works. And you can look back at the Speedway is probably the primary example, right? But major moves like that, take that type of thing, and it's only built on growth. So, and just the team shifting over, because not just the stadium, right? It's the headquarters, it's the practice field. So just the income tax collections off the team alone, you know, in that $30 million range that I'm talking about. So there's no net loss to the taxpayer. And the people even in the district, that whatever that Starbucks district is, you go to Walmart, you go to, you know, grocery store or whatever, you don't see any difference because there's no tax that's being raised. You know, they're not just like sales tax goes up. And you have all the activity and the benefit. And I think, I mean, we can just agree to disagree. They're on the outside looking in. Net, it was, we were losing money to Missouri.
I did try and point out to her the income side of this is something that I don't think they're factoring in, because there's a lot of potential on the income. Yes, we're not going to get the sales tax from this for maybe 20 years, but the income tax alone from the people who are living there, the revenue generated from that, all the jobs that come with it, the jobs that may be created from concessions from the players themselves to everything that comes in, that's all new income, correct?
Yeah, 20,000 construction jobs, and you got nearly 4,000 estimated permanent jobs between the stadium, the team itself, the headquarters, and then people are forgetting there's a $1 billion commitment in private mixed-use development investment that's all around that. All that activity stirs and builds. Growth is good. Growth is a good thing. And so, and for us to be able to acquire that without having to raise a single tax, I mean, it's quite a deal. I was about to say there was 60% of the box holders and season ticket holders of the Chiefs are Kansans, and that was all going to Missouri. It's time to just bring it all home and build up around it. And Kansas is capped. I mean, they're capped at that, and the law allowed for 70% of the infrastructure. The deal was cut at 60% of the infrastructure, and it's going to pay off early the way that it's designed. So I just don't understand the complaint, unless you're just somebody that's, and I get they're just 100% against any type of public-private partnership. And that's, we just have to agree to disagree.
So that is new. I thought it was 70. So I didn't realize you guys did cut it lower than what the original proposal was, didn't you?
Yeah. Final deal was like 60.5 or 61%, not 70.
That's new.
If there's any cost overruns, that's on the team. If there's any, you know, the billion, that's on the team. All that outside development's on the team. If they leave early, they have to pay the entire thing back with interest.
Okay. So, see, we just don't know about a lot of this stuff. Right. And I think this is part of the other issue here, is there, like you said, there are a lot of people that are maybe, you know, just on the outside, haven't seen the details. At what point will folks start seeing all the, because it hasn't really been papered yet, has it?
No, it hasn't. And all of it's kind of becoming available. And I'm actually, myself and the team, trying to put, as I'm hearing some of these things, because there's new things. I heard one yesterday that, you know, well, the state has to put $1.8 billion down. And like, that's completely false. I don't even know where that came from. So we're coming up with a sheet to really have the truth about the deal. And I like Joy, but you know, we're in a political battle right there. And, you know, she calls me the, you know, I can't remember what it is, kind of the career politician or whatever. And so that's more different than her being a career board member of the school board. I mean, we're in a battle, right? And so there's going to be criticisms to try to gain footage.
What do you think the chances are? And I know, you know, I've talked to Dan, and he'll be the head of the LCC going into 2026, and he's made it pretty clear the deal expires here in a couple of days. Royals haven't taken up the options. What do you think the chances are of the Royals doing something?
Well, I do believe they want to come to Kansas and committed to Kansas. It gets, you go past the 35th, it gets difficult for them because that is the deadline the LCC set. And Dan, you know, we trade control of that House to Senate every year. And next year it is the House and Dan is the chair. But I mean, there is a technical question or a legal question because the law itself doesn't expire till June 30. So it gets very difficult after the 31st.
Well, and you don't want to bugger up this deal by trying to redo anything. That's the key.
Yeah, no, and it's, you know, and if the choice was, you know, deadlines of dead Chiefs or the Royals, there's no question. I think everybody involved would choose the Chiefs.
Oh, sure. It's a bit, you know, one of the things Dan and I were talking the other day, and I have to ask you about this. It was kind of funny because I know how much work that Dan and you and you know, the House and Senate tax chairs and the Commerce Secretary or the Commerce committees were put into this deal. I did find it really kind of funny when Laura Kelly came in at the last minute to take credit for the whole thing. And, wasn't that funny, though? Because it was like she came in there and said, look at all this great thing that I did. In reality, she didn't do anything.
Oh, the reality is it was worse than that. She almost cost us to deal multiple times throughout the year. So, but, you know, that's not, you know, I mean, she is a politician, right? She's a governor. I mean, you're going to come in and take credit for everything you can. I mean, it's the same way when she talks about bragging about signing a bipartisan bill, which she can't sign anything else. We're a Republican legislature. She can't do anything but what is bipartisan.
Right.
That whole thing started in the legislature, right, with enabling legislation. It ended with the LCC, you know, with the tush-push over the line. It was just you know, can't blame her. She's got the bully pulpit, run out and take as much credit as she can.
All right. Yeah, it's like she took credit for the tax bill and the sales tax on food, and she didn't do anything for either of those either. But, you know, that's what she does. We've got a quick break I've got to take. Do you mind holding on through the break? And then we'll talk a little preview about 2026.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. We'll take a quick break to pay a few bills, and then we'll get back with our Senate President, Ty Masterson. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Want to remind you to stay informed with up-to-the-minute news by telling Alexa or Google Home to play KNSS. And, of course, make sure to like and follow me on Facebook and True Social, and find me on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. With us still is our Senate President, Ty Masterson. Ty, thank you for sticking around through the break. So you guys go back, second week of January, so Monday the 12th. Got a busy session. This will be the budget year, obviously. And there's a lot of stuff coming up that you're going to have to deal with when you get right back. Can you kind of give us like your top three items that are on the agenda for 2026?
Yeah, probably top three, as you mentioned, Eve, right off the top is the budget, right? And we have to continue as we've cut taxes, you're right. We took tax off Social Security. We've gone to we're headed towards a single rate income tax and lowering that rate. So we're coming off all the stimulus money has now disappeared, right?
Right.
Dealing with inflation. So we've got to trim another couple hundred million out of the budget. Last year was the first year we actually spent less in subsequent years. We put $200 million less last year. We need to do another $200 this year and probably another $200 to make the ends meet and control it the way you should, right? Working on your spending side as much as as anything else. So that's number one.
Amazing how that works. Would you mind calling the city of Wichita and explain to them how that works?
So that's going to be a big job. Number two, we're still hoping, very hopeful, we'll get a property tax cap amendment out on the ballot for everybody to vote on, because you know we need to be able to stop any kind of rapid increases in property tax, and we also need to figure out a way to stop killing people taxing an unrealized gain, right, with long-term homeowners. But those are big issues. I'd like to get a property. The only way to really do it is to get a cap, and to do that you have to have a constitutional amendment. So we'll be working on that. That's probably number two. Number three, definitely at a minimum looking at what the Big Beautiful Bill did with some educational choice, some federal tax credits. We want to make sure, you know, they left the first layer of that as a function of could be approved by the governor. Well, we know our governor's not going to approve it.
No.
So we're going to try to find, we think we have mechanisms the legislature can do so Kansas can participate, so our Kansas parents can participate in at least that level of school choice. But frankly, to have any kind of real, you know, opportunity for our trapped students and parents, we're going to have a new governor. So,
and I know a lot of discussion's been put out there about trying to fix the appraisal process, because that seems that's really a stealth tax increase. And there's really the only way to tweak that would be at the state level too, wouldn't there?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, ultimately that is, we have to change, have a constitutional amendment, because what happens, especially since you had all that massive inflation, right? All that false money, the printed money that came into the system through the stimulus, all that massive inflation. And so the home prices went way up.
Right.
And the problem is that's not a real gain.
No.
My own neighbor, you know, I mean, his house might actually be worth what that massive gain was. So he might be able to sell it, but it's not cash to him, and he can't sell it because he's got to go buy something else to live in. And so he's trapped, right? That's taxing somebody on that unrealized gain, and we have to figure out how to minimize that.
Yeah, exactly. It's only worth that if I turn around and sell it, and then I'm homeless.
Yes. Everybody gets that in stock, right? You mean you bought your stock, and your stock price went up. You're not paying taxes on that elevated value until you sell it. The difference is a home is way different. That's where I live. If you sell that, you got to go buy something else, or you're homeless.
Right.
And yeah. So we have to figure out a way to mitigate that, and that's something I am hyper aware of and trying to figure out.
What, one of the things, I guess the other two things, one of which was recently might have put you in a bind because the Trump administration reclassified marijuana from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3, which basically put it down to the equivalent of Tylenol with codeine. It's still illegal. People don't realize it's still illegal at the federal level. Is that something that you're inclined to take up, or do you think that's, I mean, where are we with this?
Well, I'm here's a couple of things. I'm still trying to understand exactly what that shift means, but I have already learned, I mean, it is still illegal. I mean, if what I think I'm optimistic about is the research that allows for.
Yeah.
Because what you really don't, you know, you have people telling you, oh, it's this miracle drug, and telling you people it's this, terrible gateway to something. I am bullish on, let's get the research. But I feel like the research is going to show you, because, you know, there's so much synthetic entry into the market. You know, there's all these synthetic drugs now that, you know, you can get a hold of at even these CBD shops. And so that's not a good thing for our society. So I need to understand it first. What that tells me, though, is that going down to Schedule 3, if it becomes FDA approved, you can sell it through a pharmacy then.
Right. Right?
So you can have all this research. So I still want to know more. I'm still not a proponent of any kind of recreational marijuana. So you have to have, I mean, you need, if it truly, I'm bullish on getting the research. That's what I like about what happened. But the point is, people think it's now legal, and it's not.
No, and I'm kind of where you are. I mean, look, if we're going to do it, then let's find legitimate reasons that are prescribed by a doctor and dispensed through a pharmacy, and not, you know, I remember when Mike Pompeo used to talk about his son went out to UC Berkeley and
called him and said, "Dad, half the students in my class have glaucoma." And that's, you know, that's not what we want, because this is not your, you know, Willie Nelson's ditchweed anymore. This stuff's highly synthetic and a lot more potent than it used to be. We're talking with Senate President Ty Masterson. What about this is, and it's a sticky wicket for you guys, I know, but what about redistricting? You know, the president sure wants it, but that may be one of those juice ain't worth the squeeze type of issues.
Yeah, well, I mean, just personally, I'm 100% for it, because I think, but I mean, the Senate had the votes to come in for special session. You know, devil's always in the details. There's nothing unethical, immoral, unconstitutional about, mid-session redistricting. It's just, and I would like to see us trend more towards the direction of all four of our congressional districts generally represent Kansas. And I tell my friends that are all worried about it, Kansas has, if you look at Kansas as a district, it's elected a Democrat governor, Republican senators. I mean, what I like about that is you actually have the debate. What tends to happen in politics is you draw deep red and deep blue because everybody who's elected wants security in their elections. Well, when you have that, you don't have vibrant debate about the issues. And so, I mean, some of these guys are in districts you could win laying in a casket. That's not healthy. You need to be able to have a vibrant, and I'd like to see that. And that's because I believe as Republicans, conservative Republicans, if we debate the issues, we win. Our ideas are better. And so that's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see all of our districts not have a safe blue district for Sharice Davids, or for that matter, such a deep red district in the big one that you can't ever have a vibrant debate. So I would like to see us actually take it up. Now, I don't know where the votes are in the House. There were a handful that didn't, of Republicans that didn't want to come in for special session. So optimistically, I would like to see us take it up, but I know it becomes pretty complicated because it isn't just me. I mean, the president does want it. You know, the White House wants it. The RNC wants it. Our congressional members have all come out our Republican congressional.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say,
in favor of. So, but you know what? I told my senators this, it's not unlike we take up the House's map, right? That when we take up the House's map, it's a map that they have sent to us that is approved by a majority of its members, not all of its members. And it's not our job necessarily to take up their districts. We're going to vote up or down. And this is the same thing. We had a majority of our congressional district ask for us to redraw. I said, I don't see why we shouldn't, and cast a vote.
Yeah, well, and we'll see. I know when I talked with Dan a couple weeks ago, he pretty much said, look, if I don't have the votes, there's no point in doing it. And I get that. And I think it would be a distraction at the same time. I think there are a lot of reps or voters rather who'd like to see where people stand on it.
That's the way I see it. And you know how it is. You've been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
You more than many understand it's different to say, I don't think I have the votes, let's not do it, versus actually cast the vote.
Right.
Yeah. And see where people are, because that's a different dynamic.
Yeah, I'd like to make people take a vote, but I've always been in that. I don't like to put them on the record. I'd like to know where people stand. But
that's where I'm at.
I mean,
we live and die by how we vote, right? And what we do. And so let's cast the vote.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same mindset as you are. But do you anticipate this being it's an election year, so I'm assuming you're hoping that this is a brief session in, out, done, and get them in and out. Do you think it's going to be another quicker session like you've had in the past?
Well, I can tell you this, it ain't going to be just a hope. This is the even year where our Constitution calls for 90 calendar days unless you have a super majority to override it. So I can tell you this, this will be a 90 calendar day session or less.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. Especially with everything else is going on. The last thing you need to do, I know there's another couple of the constitutional amendments that folks want to get on there, but I think you guys are going to be in, out, and done, and then back to work and everything else that you've got on your plates. But Ty,
we just need to tackle the big things and be done with it.
Yep.
And by the way, a vote in my mind, a vote against redistricting is a vote for 2 years of impeachment.
Yeah, yeah, that's the problem. That I and I sure would hate to see Kansas in a situation where
you know, we lost control of the United States Congress by one vote.
Mm-hmm. And we did nothing.
And you did nothing, which is a possibility. Let's hope not, but, you know, we won't know. I know that we're going to do our Under the Dome segments with you and Dan starting in January, and we'll have you on the show again when that happens. But in the meantime, have a happy new year, brother. And if folks want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that?
MastersonForGovernor.com.
That's what I was hoping you'd say. And good luck with that, too. I'm sure we will see you. I know I'm going to have you on the show here in January, but we'll also have you. We've got you coming back in at the end of January for the debate as well. But we'll talk to you before then as well, my friend.
Have a blessed 2026, man.
You too, my friend. Talk to you soon. We'll take a quick break, and then I want to hear what you think. Our studio lines are open, 316-869-1330. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. Want to remind you about our friends at Americans for Prosperity. If you're looking for a way to get involved in a campaign or help out with educating voters, don't forget AFP. It's a great way to help out. You can visit them at AmericansForProsperity.org. Chris in McPherson. Wow, McPherson County. That's great. I love having that. My wife and I go up there for the Highland Games every year because I'm a McLeod from the Clan McLeod. Chris, you're on the John Whitmer Show. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, John. Hey, am I the only one that's surveying the GOP governor's political landscape for next year and kind of getting nervous? I see all these conservatives and pseudo-conservatives, and they're all MAGA, and they're all pro-life and everything, and then I see Vicky Schmidt just kind of laying in the weeds. And I am just really scared to death that we're going to end up splitting the conservative vote and having her as our candidate.
Trust me, that is that is very likely. That has definitely been considered by many. You know, if you do the math on it and you look at it, that's, I think a lot of people are afraid that if there are three or four and she is one of the three or four, you know, I mean, I think that's her path to victory. I think a lot of people are worried that her path, she's got probably a ceiling and a floor. Those numbers are probably not too far apart, probably in the 20s. I don't think she can get above 30%. And I think she probably doesn't fall below 20%. So her numbers are in the 20s, and she gets the rhino vote. She gets the squishy vote. She gets the Dems who vote with Republicans because that's who her base is. And, you know, by the way, she's the only candidate who has not come on this show, and there's a reason. She doesn't want to answer any questions because she knows the questions that I'm going to ask. And, you know, I've repeatedly asked her to come on the show, but she is not going to want to answer the questions because Vicky Schmidt's got a horrible record on life, a horrible record on taxes, a horrible record on spending, a horrible record on guns. And, you know, I'm going to be nice because I committed to myself that I would be nice in 2025 on Vicky. In 2026, I'll probably take the gloves off, but we're still in 2025, so I'll continue that promise for now. But no, I mean, we'll see what happens. There's still a lot of time left. Filing deadline isn't until June. We'll see. By the way, John in Reno County, I'm sorry I didn't get to you. Give us a call back next week, and I'll be happy to answer your question on property taxes. You know, Chris, I don't know. There's a lot of time left. You know, the convention isn't until the end of January. I think we'll just see where we're at. If the president weighs in this race, it may make a difference. There's just a lot of time. So I wouldn't worry too much yet. Give it some time. All right, my friend?
Righty.
All righty. Thank you for calling. In the meantime, have a happy new year, everybody. We'll be with you next Sunday. Until then, carry on.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.